You may have missed it, but the St. Louis Surge won the Women's Blue Chip Basketball League National Championship in August. Some of you may be saying, who knew? But by the way, the Surge is just one of two women's teams in the 34-team league. The other is the Missouri Archangels. Kalia Collier is the founder and general manager of the Surge. She's also a regional director of the league. She joins us in studio along with Surge head coach Tony Condra. Congratulations, Kalia and Tony. Nice going.
Thank you very much.
You know, I'm sorry to say, but who did know that you guys were doing this and having a great season and winning a national championship? Kind of off the radar.
No, you know what? We're proud to say quite a few in St. Louis. We've gained tremendous amount of momentum for the past 5 years. We've been here in the St. Louis market. We got a fantastic welcome home from the St. Louis Cardinals celebrating our national championship. And you got to think, we've been drawing 2,000 to 3,000 per game, and it's only growing for us.
Well, that's great to hear. That's a big league, 34 teams. That's a lot of teams.
And the WBCBL is only growing. Tony has done a phenomenal job in his past 3 years, two national championships in 3 years. We have earned quite the fan base.
Well, Tony, congratulations to you, too. That's a great record.
Thank you.
I still have to say, though, for a lot of people, they're unaware that women's basketball clearly doesn't get the kind of attention that, men's basketball does, or college basketball even. So here you are. What do you have to do to make it better known and even better received? Win more championships.
Well, not only win more championships, but bring more awareness to the women's side of basketball. Yeah. You have some that respect the game of women's basketball and some just overlook it. But with the hard work that we're putting in, this is really going to grow. And just reaching out to the young ladies that play basketball in our area, I mean, they now have a team here in the area where these players are their role models. So now we shift. So now you don't have to look at NBA, I want to be Steph Curry. You can be like a Surge player that's local and follow them.
Is the women's game different than the men's game?
Yes. I love the women's game. The women play with more passion. And they go after and they go get it. And it's not they put on a show, but it's not a lot of showboating. There's a difference.
Kalia, we love passionate women, by the way. There's nothing wrong with that. Where do your players come from?
You know what? You know, tying back to the momentum that we've been able to build the past 5 years, we have strategically built our roster. Every fan that we have earned. It's been truly organic interest. So now completing 5 years gives us a foundation to build upon for next year. So that's right. More and more people are going to start hearing more about the Surge. And how we customize our dream team is truly just that. We customize a dream team from across the country. We only recruit 4 to 5 players out of state, and the rest come right out of the St. Louis, Illinois area. I mean, we can't have a powerhouse team without powerhouse locals. So when you look at our roster, you see the top Division I, Division II, Division III to NAIA athletes that we hand select to be a part of our team, with all Americans truly from everywhere.
You draw them out of obviously the local colleges and universities.
Oh yeah, I mean, yeah. Right next door we had one of the Billikens, Denisha Womack, who joined our roster this year from Wisconsin to Minnesota to Georgetown University. All of our players are postgraduates, and almost half of our players end up with advanced degrees by 22-23. So when you talk about professional role models and mentors, we represent just that in our community.
You know, you look at men's professional basketball and you see that some of these guys are knocking down $20, $30, $40 million a year. What are the ladies making?
You know, on the women's side, you know, unfortunately, we're not there yet. But people really... They truly don't recognize the disconnect in time. You know, NBA's been around 50-plus years. The WNBA is just celebrating its 20th year anniversary. So it's unrealistic to think that the women should be at the same pace. But what I can tell you is that the women's side is only becoming more competitive, more entertaining, and more athletic, and is only gaining more and more attention. So it puts us at a perfect opportunity to be building a women's franchise here in St. Louis.
Tony, what got you into it? What got you into women's basketball as opposed to whatever?
Actually, I just fell into it. I was at the local Boys and Girls Club one Saturday at Matthews Dickey, and Gary Glasscott, who was my mentor through coaching, he was like, Tony, I need you to coach these teams today. And I went 5-0, and I never left. And there it goes. Started back in 1998.
What was the record, by the way, for this championship season?
This year, I believe what did we go?
13-2.
13-2, yeah.
It's a 15-game
15-game season, including playoffs. And for the past 5 years, we have been nationally ranked. Last year, we lost in the national championship. 2014, we won a national championship. So to be back in great rankings, we're only getting better.
Yeah. I'll just bring that up because I think it's indicative of where you are as this league starts to grow, that the championship game was played in a high school gym, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, unfortunately, they had some issues with the facility, and we've truly set the standard for the WBCBL. Our home facility's been at UMSL, seeing the attendance that we do draw. Unfortunately, the league is steady growing, but we're watching it grow over time. We would have loved for it to be played at a high school, if not an arena, at a university facility, but we made do, and we made sure we brought home a championship.
You know, I'll stay with you for a moment on this, Kalia, because we talked to you some months ago about the entrepreneurial aspect of this. I mean, you're the person who got this whole thing going here, and it was a challenge for you. How challenging was it to develop what ultimately became a championship caliber basketball team?
You know, what's great is, you know, I see challenges as opportunities. And we hear all the time that women's sports is such a tough sell, and it will always be for me. It just depends on who's selling it. And we're still, you know, we're still coming over those hurdles now as we try and create more awareness in the St. Louis market. So it definitely hasn't been an easy road, but it's been a lot of fun. We work incredibly hard as a staff to see the coaching staff, to see our players, to see the behind the scenes front office staff. We are working tremendously hard to get those 2,000 to 3,000 people in our gym and to really show them a great brand and product of women's sports.
Is 2,000 to 3,000 in the gym enough to make it viable?
It is, and that's been – we've been very strategic on how we maintain our overhead. Talking about entrepreneurship, you know, we know how to wear 8 to 10 hats. I've been doing so now for several years, and our whole goal is to make this viable and sustainable. A lot of the women's teams and several other teams that you've seen come through the St. Louis area have folded within the first year to 2 years. Yeah. For us to be in year 5 and steady going strong is a feat within itself. And I'm proud as an entrepreneur. There's never been another startup franchise like the St. Louis Surge to ever come through the city.
What you mentioned hurdles that you have to have had to deal with. What are some of those hurdles?
I think it's earning credibility. Yeah. And when you look at our sponsors now of having Ameren, MasterCard, Worldwide Technology, and Merits, yeah, and having that brand association with the Surge, it does a lot for our brand. And that took time to earn. It doesn't happen overnight, and anyone that thinks success happens overnight, they're truly mistaken. It's staying the course. It's, you know, doing your due diligence on all fronts of making sure that you're strategic. And we have done just that. You know, we're playing a game of chess, and we're playing to win and be here for a lot longer than we are now.
Tony, do you get to keep the players year after year, or do they move on, move around?
Some move on, and we just bring more back in. I mean, we have to experience life. And on the women's side, what I've learned over the past 3 years is most of your professional women athletes, they just know basketball. So when they're done with us, now they experience life. So when they leave us, they leave as alumni, and it's a great thing. But then we just have to go back to work and find that missing piece.
My impression is a lot of the ladies who played for you this year have moved on. Not that they're not coming back, but they're now going international. They're going to continue playing basketball.
Correct.
Year-round?
That is correct, year-round. Okay. So we have some. One is in Belgium. One is in Hungary.
We have Poland. We have one player that's headed Japan. About half of our roster transitions overseas every year. It's by design. And the other half, we help build careers here in St. Louis. So we have a very strategic and unique model.
You help build careers. What kind of careers are we talking about?
So when you look at our partners, our whole goal has been to transition now our players to where we just don't recruit for talent. We also recruit for, you know, IQ of who's looking to make a career and stay here in St. Louis and build a family and so on and so forth. So looking at partnerships like MasterCard, we have a communications major. You know, we're getting you in the foot in the door there. So it's a lot bigger than basketball, what we do here with the Surge.
Yeah. What kind of success stories along those lines have you had in the few years that you've been in business?
No, it's been great. With our list of Power Surge supporters, we have an exclusive group of visionary leaders that support the evolution of women's sports. And these are your top 25 female CEOs, mentors, leaders that actually hands-on with Maxine Clark that are spending time with our players and grooming them for the next steps. And so it's been really awesome to watch our players grow as women, separate of their basketball careers, preparing for what's next.
Tony, let me come back to you, and I'll have the same question for Kalia as to the caliber of these women as players. How good are they?
They're great players, but the way we start with personality first. So all of our players have great personalities. Our rule is if you can't sit down at the dinner table with our family, you can't be a part of the Surge family. So personality first, and then we take that onto the basketball court, because you can have a tremendous athlete with a bad attitude, and it won't work in our organization. So personality first, basketball second. That's how we recruit.
Kalia?
Oh, exactly. Tony's spot on with our philosophy. If we can't put you on an elementary school poster, you don't make a good fit. So what that means, if you don't naturally like to volunteer, if you don't naturally like kids, you won't play for us. And I love what we've built. We've built a culture, we've built a family, and we've built a successful brand that's only going to continue.
Is it fair to assume that some of these players are hopeful of moving on to the WNBA?
You know, absolutely. And I think those players that come in, our job is to educate. So you see the 40 women that are drafted into the WNBA year after year, only 6 of those women truly make it onto a roster. So when you think about us customizing our own dream team, we had a player, Michaela Johnson, that played at UConn, transferred to Wisconsin. She was a second-round draft pick in the WNBA. We recruit her to play for the Surge. So unfortunately, sometimes you have truly a better chance of being struck by lightning than you do going into the WNBA. But that's still because of the women's side. You make substantially more money overseas than you do in-state. But you're watching, you know, salaries grow not only in women's sports, but, you know, your everyday female CEO. So we're still making those great strides and shattering those glass ceilings.
Is there enough talent out there, Tony, to sustain a league of 34 teams? I understand in 2017 you're going to be adding more teams next year, aren't you? That's a lot of teams and a lot of rosters to fill. Is the talent out there to do it and a full-fledged talent?
The talent is definitely there. You have a lot of women that come out of college and have played professional basketball. They're looking for somewhere to play to further their career. So with bringing more teams into the league, it actually gives more players more opportunities to complete their goals. So the players are definitely out there.
Well, that's certainly good to hear. How many teams do you plan to expand, Kalia?
You know what? The WBCBL is, I believe, looking to expand 6 to 8 teams. But, you know, they're going through a vetting process. The teams that you've seen kind of come into the area, a couple of those have folded. And so it's making sure that you're bringing in strong, viable teams that have that franchise model. And I think that's what they're focused on moving forward. So for us, you know, we don't want to be on an island by ourselves. So we're looking to play the most competitive teams, too, outside of our region.
You're a regional director of the league, as I understand it, correct?
Yes.
That's still something you're doing. So I guess you're among those who's looking pretty closely at those who want to come into the league.
Oh, absolutely.
What are you looking at?
Viability. Yeah. You know, first, especially as an entrepreneur, you have to understand that it does take a tremendous amount of passion, because when it gets hard, it's easy to quit. And the only people that don't make it are the people that quit. So for us, we're looking for not just the passion alongside, but knowing that the finances fit behind the passion as well. Because you can have tremendous energy, but if you don't have the wherewithal to run a business, it's not going to succeed either.
What does it take financially to start? What do you need to have in the back?
I think it's different for each team in each market.
Yeah.
You know, a big city compared to a mid-major is night and day budgets. But economically, it's something that if you're willing to invest in it early. You know, you're talking about a couple of tens of thousands of dollars to get started. And that's not an NBA team bringing in. But you're still forking out a decent amount of money to make sure you're able to move forward from year to year.
What are some of the big cities you're in and some of the smaller ones?
Oh, you have teams, for instance, one that's building in the D.C. market compared to an Iowa, you know, Des Moines. That's a night and day difference. You have the new teams that's building in Miami compared to a St. Louis. I mean, we're up against totally different battles of, you know, the population of people and their interest in basketball. We're very blessed here in St. Louis. Besides just being a Cardinals town, we're a sports city, and that plays to our advantage.
Yeah, well, are the women who want to play in a position where they can negotiate, play, pardon the expression, one team against another in order to get that final job?
You know, I think you see some in cases like that, absolutely. Yeah. They're a little closer in regions. With us, we don't see that as much. Being that we hand select our roster, we get, I can't tell you how many players try out for our program or express interest. So it's kind of slim pickings, and you know that before you get to us. So we're referring a lot of those players on to additional teams or across the region for them to at least still have those opportunities.
Tony, the NBA every once in a while will entice a young high school player to come into the league. There are some pretty good ones who have gone that route. How about with the women? Any of that happening?
As of right now, no. The game is different on the women's side. Like a high school player couldn't compete at that high level of the WNBA.
Really? Why is that?
Knowledge. Knowledge of the basketball game, the physicality, the speed, everything is different. You know, so on the guy's side, more athleticism. If you're an athlete, you can get away with it. But on the women's side, it's totally different.
Kalia, how do you feel about this more athleticism comment?
I'm going to share a bit of a different view than Coach. I think it's more of a financial decision. I mean, now they've implemented the rule in the NBA to where you have to play at least 1 year before you can go pro. Within the WNBA now, it's 3 years, and it used to be mandated that you have to have your degree. As a female athlete, you're not coming out signing a multi-million-dollar contract, so your education is first. And I think that's something that's been instilled in every female athlete. When you look at 96% of female executives attribute their success in sports, that's a very high number. And when you're seeing that research, it's staggering to see the leadership tied to women's sports. But I think as we see the next 5 to 10 years, oh, yeah, you're seeing more women who are dunking. The athleticism is only increasing. But to be honest with you, I love that education is first on women's sports because it gives us a different perspective with a different maturity level.
It should be first in all sports.
I completely agree. And I look forward to seeing on the men's side that you recruit character first over talent. And we are determined to show that it not only works and it's viable within women's sports, that it can be translated over to men's sports.
You know, I read an article a couple of years ago about a player in the NBA and had been playing there. I wouldn't mention the name, but had been playing there for a couple of years. Before it was determined that he was illiterate, he had gone through high school as a star basketball player, had gone through college as a star basketball player, and apparently that's all he did was play basketball. Nobody bothered to teach him to read along the way. Can you believe that?
You know, it's funny. I kind of joke about it to where we're in a great time to where when you see a men and women's interview, you know, besides I dunk the ball and I got a rebound, you hear a different level of articulation on the women's side. And I think more now than ever, you're seeing that be appreciated at a different level.
You agree, Tony?
I agree.
Yeah.
With his new baby girl, who is a week and a half old, I know he's looking forward to seeing the women's side continuously change, not just sports, but watching progressive women do well.
Well, I hope she was a tall baby, if you will, and would become a tall young lady for you.
She may get it.
Or she might be a point guard. We don't know.
What's the tallest woman in your league?
Our tallest player has been 6'7". Yeah. But when you looked at our starting lineup and our post, I mean, we went 6'4", 6'4", 6'5", 6'3", 6'2", 6'1", and we level off at guard. So I think it's a myth that you have to be tall to play basketball. You definitely don't.
No, not at all.
And the time we have left, what about the Archangels? Are they arch rivals of yours? What is this association? They're here in town as well.
The Archangels did not complete their season this year, so they did fold midway through. So we have definitely had some rivals outside of the region like Nebraska and Iowa that's continuously being more competitive for us, and those are the games that we focus on. We love nail biters. Our fans love nail biters, and I know our coach, Tony, loves competitive games.
Tony, I'm not sure that's true. I would like a 30-point lead myself.
Man. No, nail biters are fun. It actually, I like pressure situations. I tell all the players, put the pressure on me. So when we're in a nail biter, I just love playing. Well, my favorite game is checkers. So I love playing checkers against the other coach. It's exciting.
Yeah, it is a checkers or a chess game when you're playing against someone else. Answer this question for me, Kalia, please. What is the – I'm fixed on this subject, I guess. What is the biggest contract in your league?
Overseas or in our league?
In your league.
It varies. With us, all of our players receive stipends. They provided a surplus of resources from physicians to corporate relationships, hands down. So it's not really summed up in a money value. Mm. But I could tell you our players who are transitioning overseas, I mean, we have players that are ranging anywhere from $7,000 to $8,000 per month to $20,000 per month.
So you can make a pretty good living at it under the right circumstances.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, we'll look forward to seeing what goes on during this next season. When do you start the new season?
We'll start preseason in April. And we're driving everyone truly to find out more about us. STL Surge Basketball. basketball.com because we're ready. We're ready for 2017 already. Isn't that right, Coach?
Yeah.
All right. We'll put a link to your link on our website at stlpublicradio.org. Kalia Collier, thank you.
Thank you
for
so
being
much
with
for
us. Good luck to you with
thank
the team.
You.
And Tony Conger, thank you for being with us. Good luck to
Thanks
you,
for
Coach.
Having me.
Good luck to you. Archive versions of past St. Louis On the Air programs available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Don Marsh.